keep the flock. How do we do that? How do we make sure that we are shepherding the people of our congregation? We look at the Bible, and the Bible gives that charge to the eldership of the church. Peter put it this way through the Holy Spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So the primary purpose, the primary function or responsibility of the eldership of the church is to shepherd the flock that God has entrusted to them. But you know what I've discovered over the past almost 25 years of ministry? Being an elder is not necessarily an enjoyable experience. And it should be. The Bible says that it should be. And even though the Holy Spirit, through Peter, has given this charge to the elders, it's not just the leadership of the church that needs to take responsibility for shepherding one another. No? It's easy when things go wrong. You'd probably agree with me on this. When things go wrong, it's really easy for us to point to leadership in any organization and say it's their fault. It's just how we're wired. If something is going on at work that we don't like, it's management's fault. If something's going on at school we don't like, it's administration's fault. If something's going on in our nation, it's the president's fault. And we do the same thing at church. And while it's true that the primary responsibility falls on the eldership and on the staff as well, we all have a great responsibility to share that load, to keep the flock. We need to understand that it all falls on us. It's a part of our mission. I was reading an article this week in Church Leadership that was eye-opening to me, and it was on the top 10 reasons why people stop coming to church. Okay? And I just want to share four of those with you. The first reason is this: because of unresolved conflict. If we want to keep the flock, if we want to do a better job of losing people out the back door of the church, then we've got to do a better job of resolving conflict among ourselves. We need to develop a radical humility that Andrew talked about just a moment ago. Consider others better than ourselves. Be a servant. No? Be the peacemakers that Jesus has called us to be. If you know that there's an unresolved issue between you and someone else, a brother or sister, the Bible says, if at all possible, make peace. In fact, we're told in God's word that we shouldn't even gather around the Lord's table and participate in communion if there's bitterness and unforgiveness in our heart toward a brother or sister. If we want to keep the flock, we've got to get along. We've got to get along better than the world gets along, because again, the world looks at us and they say, well, if that's the way the church does things, then, you know, I got that out here. I don't need the church. Another reason people stop going to church is they need less drama in their lives. Now, isn't that crazy? I'm not going to go to church because of all of the drama that is created in the church. That shouldn't be. You know, one of the benefits, one of the beautiful things about being able to come into this building on a Sunday morning is to forget about some of the things that are going on throughout our everyday lives that happen every single day. And we just lay those aside and we come together and we worship God. And the church should be a drama-free zone. But it's the one place where sometimes we come and there's more drama than what should be. And I think the reason is because we wear masks. You look at the old dramas of the old days, isn't that what they did in dramas? They wore masks, you know? And we do that. We wear masks each week. We don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to share how we're really feeling sometimes. I mean, when was the last time that when someone walked up to you and said, "Hey, how you feeling today?" And you go, "Oh, I'm great," and you're not. When was the last time you were honest and said, "You know what, I'm just really lousy today." Or when you ask, "How you doing?" Did you take the time to really stop and listen to what the other people were saying? Tuesday is not the only day, this coming Tuesday, it's not the only day of the year that people wear masks. It's every Sunday. And if we want to keep the flock, we need to lose the masks. No? We need to be real. We need to be a real people. We need to be a real church where the masks come off and we just genuinely love one another and genuinely love Jesus. When the world says, "I don't want to go to church because the church is full of hypocrites," you know what? Here's what I say. You've heard me say, there's always room for one more. You know? But it's true. When you look at the word hypocrite or hypocrisy, it comes from the word hypocrites or hypocrites, which means actor or pretender or stage actor. If we're going to seek God's will for our church, we need to put these pretenses to the side and be real and be genuine. Leave our masks at the door. And I think if we do that, that'll help us to keep the flock. Another reason people leave the church is they can't find community. And finding community is something that Kendall talked about a couple of weeks ago. It's absolutely crucial for us to be able to do that. One of the reasons that people come to church in the first place is because they are looking for something in which they can belong. It's the way that God has designed the church. God did not create us to be Lone Ranger Christians. And we live in a world that is so full of superficial people, so full of plastic relationships, and I believe that people don't want to do life like that. And if they come to church, and that's the way church is, well, that's no different than what we're used to. I don't need that. I think people want those deep, loving, authentic relationships that can be found among the followers of Jesus. Christianity was never meant to be lived in the context of isolation. It was meant to be lived in the context of community. And when people cannot find community, when people cannot plug in, when people cannot access meaningful relationships, then they don't want to be any part of it. They're going to look for that somewhere else. And when a church learns to do community well, it is a life-giving and life-changing experience. And when we fail to build that community within the church, church just becomes another item on your list that can suck the life out of you. And that's sad to me. The number of people that I have talked to, even if they do commit to going to church every single Sunday, the number of people that I talk to says, "Man, church can just suck the life out of me." Now, I know that as a church staff and as elders, we've got improvement that we can make in this area, and we're certainly working on that. But it's also a two-way street. In other words, the community sometimes needs to be sought out by the individual. If the only fellowship, the only community that you're getting is between 8:30 and 9:45 on a Sunday morning, it's not enough. You have to intentionally get closer. You have to intentionally go deeper. Those type of deep relationships do not happen accidentally. Get involved in ministry somewhere, as was mentioned earlier. Find a small group as was mentioned earlier. Be a part of a Sunday school class. Be intentional about building relationships. Now, here's the fourth and final reason people leave a church or don't come to church. And this is one way that we can be a better church at keeping people. And people leave the church when they don't find Jesus there. This sounds nuts on the surface. You know, oh, wow, you know, you can't. Seriously, it's a church. Jesus is there. Yeah. Does it look like him? Or are we playing church? Church should be a place where people are busy loving the unlovable, embracing the outcast, serving the widow, caring for those from a foreign land, showing compassion to the fatherless. Church should be a place where race is irrelevant and the most coveted position should be what Andrew talked about at the very beginning, and that's a servant. And that's a church that looks like Jesus. And I am convinced that if we built loving communities of faith that were real, that were authentic, that embraced those who are excluded in other areas of life, and were known by how well they loved one another, if we became a church like that, we wouldn't have empty seats in the pews. Because a church like that, a church that really looks like Jesus, acts like Jesus, loves like Jesus, thinks like Jesus, that place would be irresistible. And when we look at the mission of the church, serve the Lord, evangelize the lost, equip the saints, keep the flock, it's all an effort for us to be more like Jesus. Jesus. But you can't be like him if you don't follow him. And we want to give you that chance to do that today. We're going to offer a song of decision. And if you're here today and you've already made that decision, hey, you know, I've surrendered my life to Christ. I've been baptized into him. I'm doing my absolute best every day, but you find yourself sometimes playing these Christian games instead of actually following Jesus. Would you consider talking to the Lord about that today and repenting of that? He wants us to follow him. He doesn't want us to play church. Maybe you're here today and you've never made that first-time decision. You've never confess Jesus as the Christ. You've never repented of your sins. You've never been baptized into him. We want to give you the chance to do that as well. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. At the end of this prayer, we're going to sing a song. And if you have a need this morning, we encourage you to come. Let's pray.